This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Good morning, Mr. Moore. It's Captain Seddon speaking.
Can't hear you.
Sorry, can you not hear me?
Very well.
You can hear me. That's fine. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
Only good. I've got a little interim news for you.
Yeah.
First of all, let me deal with sort of prices and things as they are at the moment. Everything has gone up, has had to go up enormously in the intervening 2.5 years or so since you came to me originally, largely because of the ever-increasing difficulty of getting any parts for these things. So to give you an idea of the scale of things, currently when clients bring me their machine for overhaul, I charge a minimum of £300 and normally a maximum of about £600. That's point number one. Point number two, when you came to me originally, you brought me another machine, a TK-146, and at that point in time it was quite impossible to do anything about it because the parts I just could not get, and we were at a full stop.
Just a minute.
Right?
I bought you two.
You brought me two, did you? I'm awfully sorry, I forgot that. Would you tell me what the other was?
I think it was TK-26 or something like that. It's just double figures.
26. My mind has gone blank on this. Would this have been an early two-track machine?
It was earlier than the 146, yes.
Probably a two-track as distinct from a four, could that be?
It could well be, yes.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry, I quite forgot about that. I've noted that down. 26. I don't know what that could be. I don't think there was a 26, but never mind. Anyway, thank you for recalling that to my memory. Now, at that point in time, nothing could be done, and therefore, if you remember, I sold you another machine with a similar number, I think a 145, for which you paid me £200.
Yes.
And that was on the 11th of March, 91.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes, if sufficient time, I'm talking now of a very long time indeed, is allowed to pass and flow under the bridge, just occasionally, and I always try and do this where it's conceivably possible, it's sometimes possible to repair a machine which over a period of a few months cannot be repaired, provided that one is willing to scour, if need be, as I did in this case, the whole of Europe, and with endless telephone calls and endless letter writing to every conceivable person, just occasionally you do come up trumps and you manage to get the parts that are needed. Well, precisely that happened in the case of your former machine. And I have this very day completed putting it all back together, and it's actually running on test at this moment.
Hang on a minute.
Right.
The one you're saying my former, was that one I bought into of my own?
One of your own, which had broken down, a thing called a TK-146.
The point is this, that the one I had from you when I bought those two in, packed up and I brought it back to you, and you gave me the one I've got here now, which again has not performed.
Right. So, is it the case then that I supplied you two successive machines?
Yes, because the first one which I bought back wasn't functioning.
Right.
Instead of dealing with it then, you said, well, have this one instead, which is the one I've got here.
Right.
And of course this one is not functioning either.
Now, this is something else that I'm afraid I hadn't recalled either. Let me just note that down. Yes, I see. Now, can you tell me the type number of the one you've got now?
Can you hold on a minute? It's over the other side of the room.
Right here.
Hello?
Hello?
It's TK145.
Right.
Now, the one I had from you originally, I don't know its number. I never had any record.
Well, if the machine that I have just completed working on is the machine that came from you, and I'm 99% certain that is the case, then it's called a TK146.
Well, that's the one I bought into of my own.
That's correct.
Yes, but you see, the point is there's one in between that you supplied, which didn't work properly, and I bought back, and you gave me 145 in exchange.
Oh, I see. Well, short of looking back into old correspondence, I don't know offhand what that was. I don't think it's terribly relevant to what we're talking about at the moment, but if you particularly want me to find out, I could look into old files and try and find out what it was. At the moment, on the basis of such records as I have dug out, I have no knowledge of it. But if you say that is so, I quite believe you.
It's just in my case of putting the records straight regarding the events that happened.
Yes, I see. Yes. But in effect, you had a machine from me, and one machine, in effect, equates largely with another one.
Mm-hmm.
So I supplied another one, evidently, to make good the problem, and that evidently didn't make it good, from what you tell me.
Yes.
Yes, well, I'm sorry about that. That's very unfortunate. Partly the distance between us is one of the problems. It makes it more difficult, of course, for you to bring things to me.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, your original machine is now running on test and appears to be working perfectly. It has cost me an enormous amount of time and effort to get it to this stage, and I was determined to do it. I didn't have you in mind at the time. It just seemed to me a waste of the machine not to do one's absolute utmost for whosoever to get it into good order. So that has now been done. So, really, you have the option, if you like, and I would recommend this course to you. You see, your original machine is bound now to be better than any other machine, either that you have or that I can offer you, for the very simple reason that it has had to be fitted with an absolutely brand spanking new head. And these heads are like gold dust. They are, for these old machines, completely and utterly unobtainable from all normal sources. One just has to scour every possible source, however improbable, to get them. And usually you don't succeed even then. Just occasionally you do succeed. So now, that having been done, I would recommend to you that the best course of action is that you simply return to me the one you have, pay me the balance on the other one, and have your own machine back. That way you have a machine that you have known for many years and which you know to have been restored to as nearly new condition as it's possible to get a machine by virtue, amongst other things, of the head. Now, the figures on those would be the machine that I have here, the restored machine, I would say I would want 600 for that. And I would give you, if I allow you the 200 that you paid originally, 200, off the 600, that would bring us to a balance of 400. That would then be guaranteed for a year, and the probability is, having a new head, that it would go for a great many years. And as you are the only previous owner, and it has never been out of my care since you brought it to me, there is no possibility of any faults having been introduced in the course of other second, third, fourth, or fifth-hand ownerships, because there haven't been any of those. You see what I mean? If, on the other hand, you want to proceed with the one you've got, well, the advantage of the first course is that which I've already said, together with the fact that you could take it away with you immediately, you'd have it at once. If, on the other hand, you want to keep to the machine you've got, well, then bring it to me, and I will make it good, and charge you as little as I can on it.
Well, quite frankly, Captain Sneddon, I'm not at all happy. I mean, I paid you £200 originally for the one I had, which never worked. You had my two machines at the same time, and I've had pretty nothing from anything, because the lifetime of the one that you gave originally and this one is minimal. And at the position, I'm not in no position to pay out a great extra amount of money.
Yes, I see. Well, now what do we do about it? You see, I'm perfectly happy to allow you back the full 200 that you've paid. That is no problem. If you'd like to have your original machine back, And the advantage there is that it is a machine you've known all its life. By the way, what year did you buy it?
That would have been 1972, I think. It was just as I was retiring.
Yes, I see. So you've had it, in effect, for about 20 years.
Yes, well, of course, I mean, taking it back 3 years to when it went wrong, 17 years that I was using it.
Yes.
Before it finally packed up, and of course then I tried to get the repairs done. It was then that you came into the picture through Grundig's head office.
Indeed, yes. Well, I mean, you've had it for 17 years, so you know all its good features and all its bad features and all its limitations. And there's a great advantage in the devil you know rather than the devil you don't.
Well, I appreciate that, but what I'm getting at is this, that I'm in no position to pay you a lot of extra money, having already paid you £200.
Well, bear in mind, you have had some, if limited, restricted, but nevertheless you have had some benefit and some use out of the machine which you now have.
With respect, very limited indeed, because it goes back nearly 2 years when I was writing to you. That was only about 8 months after I originally saw you.
Yes.
So in that time I had two different machines and both of them failed to live up to expectation. So I really have had no use of this for nearly 2 years. He's been sitting here doing nothing.
I see. Well, I mean, there is the alternative. If you like to bring me your machine, but it will have to be left with me for quite a time. I can't tell you how long. It's unlikely that it'll be ready for you to take back with you. How long is it that you stay with your relatives?
Oh, I'm coming back next Monday. That's 4 days, 5 days.
Yes. Well, in those 5 days, it almost certainly won't be possible to get it into proper order. So I would have to ask you to leave it with me. As things are at the moment, I would think probably 5 or 6 weeks, possibly more than that. And I would repair that, obviously, with consideration of the problems you've had for as little as possible. I'd have to charge you something for it, but as little as possible. But on the other hand, I do assure you that at the end of the day, you would be bound by the nature of physical science to have a less good machine in any other machine, including the one you now have, than you would have in your own original machine, for the reason already stated.
Well, I appreciate that, but as I say, I'm very concerned that having paid out what for me was a considerable amount of money in 1991, £200, to find that now you're talking about some twice that amount to get it back.
No, not at all. Hold on, to get it back, but hold on. You must bear in mind that the value of your machine, as it came to me at that time, was virtually that of scrap and nothing more, because parts were completely unobtainable and it had a great deal the matter with it. And by the way, I have the impression, correct me if I'm wrong, that someone who was not of this profession had been working on it. Am I right?
No.
Are you sure?
Well, all that was put on was drive belts.
Ah, and they were wrongly put on, and that's how I know it. They were totally wrongly put on in a way that could not possibly have worked.
No, well, actually, when that was done, it was spotted before I started using it, and I took it straight back, and they remedied the error which one of their workmen had done.
Well, excuse me. When the machine came to me, it had in it an error, a very serious error, in the installation of the belts, such that it could not possibly have worked in that condition. So much so that I actually attached a sticky label to the machine at the time, which bore an inscription indicative of that fact. And I only removed that label the day before yesterday when I cleared the error.
Can I come in here? I've just remembered. I took it in for the people down locally to have a look at it, and they said then that the head needed replacing. And, of course, they scoured far and wide to get one, and then found they couldn't. And it was then they suggested I write to Grundig. So they put it back, but it wasn't used. They just reassembled it and apparently put it back incorrectly. But it wasn't a question of them charging me, because they didn't. You see, they put it back telling me they couldn't help me because they couldn't get a replacement head.
Well, I'm not saying for a minute that they charged you. That really isn't relevant. All I am saying is that it is absolutely crystal clear that whoever last worked on that machine did not understand the machine and didn't put it together in such a way that it could not possibly have worked.
No, well, as I say, It wasn't tried for working, as I say, because it was already useless as far as I was concerned.
Yes, well, you see, exactly so. So what I'm saying is this, that the value of the machine, as it came to me at that time, was virtually scrap. It had been messed about, all sorts of things had been done to it which were wrong, and all these things had to be found, first of all, and then cleared up and put in order. Added to that, there was the tremendous task, the almost insuperable task of getting ahead, which, as I say, is like gold dust, and anywhere else you would not have got it. I assure you, no one anywhere would have been able to put that machine in order. This is a well-known and well-established fact. I'm the only person in this field who goes to the unbelievable and totally uncommercial lengths that I do with my determination to overcome apparently insuperable problems, so much so that I actually advertise that, amongst other things, I also effect, in inverted commas, impossible, inverted commas, close, repairs. Now, that has to be paid for. If you want something that is absolutely unique and no one else can give you, either you do without it, or you have to pay the cost that it incurs. And that is the position. And added to that, over that time, the charges on all this work have had to go up enormously, as I've told you. That is the problem. If you want me to put your machine right at a minimal charge, I'm perfectly willing to do that, but with the caveat, as I say, that you will have to leave it with me for many weeks. I can't tell you when it'll be ready at all. All I can do is to get in touch with you when it's done. Whereas the other machine is up and running beautifully, and you could literally collect it if you wanted to tomorrow or on your way back to Dorset, either way, and you would have a machine guaranteed for a year with a new head working absolutely brilliantly.
And you're talking in terms of how much?
Well, a difference of 400.
No, I can't talk in those terms, Captain Smith. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, now I've got a suggestion that might possibly help you. You're obviously a very reliable person. If you can pay me, say, shall we say, 200 down, you're perfectly welcome to spread the balance of 200 over however long a period you feel you need to, at whatever monthly rate suits you and without any interest.
Sorry. I mean, if I pay £200, that's got to be the bottom line. Because there's just no way I can think in terms of extra money.
You put me in a very difficult position because I've invested an awful lot of time and effort into that machine.
Hold on a minute, hold on.
Hello?
Sorry, I had to run away, but my cooker was burning itself at the bottom.
Dear, I am so sorry.
It's all right.
I hope your lunch isn't ruined.
No, I've turned it off, it's all right.
My fault for ringing up at lunchtime. Well, could we compromise on that? I mean, you're very frank with me. Could we compromise that you pay me, say, £200 down and at least another 100 over however long you need to spread it?
I'd need to think about it. So I'll come tomorrow, having thought about it, and then discuss the matter further with you when I see you face to face.
Right. Now, if you want to collect this machine, would you please bring the 200 cash with you?
Well, I can't bring it in cash. That'd be cheque.
Well, you were good enough to pay me cash last time, and I'm afraid the situation with cheques, far from getting better, has got very much worse, to the point that for quite a long time I have not been able or willing to accept cheques, because I've had a number of cases of cheques that have bounced. And believe me, Mr. Moore, when a cheque bounces in present-day England, you can forget all about it. There is no chance of recovering it at all, because the cost of recovery is far greater than the value of the £200.
As I say, I haven't got that sort of money in pounds or £5 notes or whatever.
No, I'm not saying you have. But on the other hand, you have the necessary time, if necessary, to go to the bank and to cash a cheque.
No, I haven't.
Come.
Because I'm nowhere near a bank.
Oh. Well, I mean, if you're not coming till tomorrow, I'd have thought you could get it on the way here.
No.
Well, I'm awfully sorry, but I really can't accept a cheque. It's a case, you see, of the innocent suffering for the guilty. I've had the most appalling experiences. You wouldn't believe it with cheques.
But I say, I shan't be near any banks at all, because I don't go through any towns on my way either.
Do you have a cheque card?
No, that's one thing I don't believe in.
Well, I must admit I don't either. I don't have one. We're both old-fashioned. But I'm most terribly sorry. I cannot accept a cheque. I have had these experiences. I have lost many hundreds of pounds. This happened to me principally about between 1 year and 3 years ago. And I have completely stopped accepting cheques, full stop. I just cannot do it.
Oh, the end of the line then, isn't it?
Well, I'm sorry. I don't see any other answer to it. I leave it with you. I mean, if you can bring me the cash, if you can bring me 200, and if you can pay me, say, another 100 over whatever period you need to, I won't charge you a penny of interest. I'm sure you're a reliable chap. That's perfectly all right. But cheques, I'm awfully sorry, no.
Well, I don't see the answer at the moment, Captain Sender, that one at all.
Well, the only other thing I can suggest, there are two possibilities. One is a postal order. And the other is something which I have never yet used, but I'm assured by people who are experts in banking, does exist. There's a thing called an irrevocable banker's draft, or something of that kind, which is some kind of document which you give to me, which authorizes your bank to pay, and it cannot bounce. Quite how it works, I don't know. You'd have to telephone your bank and ask them how they do it.
It means going to the bank, and I'm not near a bank. You see, you're missing my point. I shan't be near a single bank before I reach your place.
Well, I can only say I'm terribly sorry. Where there's a will, there's usually a way. Surely, I mean, you've got a motor car, you can't be... I mean, I know bits of Dorset, I don't know the particular bit you live in. I can't imagine you're more than 5 or 10 miles from a bank.
No, but on the other hand, it's a question of time factor with me. You bear in mind my position here, that I'm trying to get my things sorted out after the loss of my wife, and, there's lots of things I've got to do, and I can't sort of go off my rails, as it were, to deal with this.
Well, I mean, I would suggest to you that you could either go to the bank this afternoon. Most banks don't close these days till 4:30. Or alternatively, if you're setting out tomorrow morning, you could easily arrange your route so that you could pass in front of the front door of any bank, your local bank or whatever bank, and procure the cash there on the way.
Well, I don't know. I shall have to see.
I'm most awfully sorry. With the best will in the world, I would like to accept your cheque. I cannot do it because of the fearful problems I've had. It is just impossible. I mean, big businesses may be able to cope with all that. They've got an administrative staff, they've got debt collectors, they've got secretaries, they've got all these things. I've got nothing. I'm a one-man band. And I'm an engineer. I'm busy repairing things. I just haven't got time to worry after cheques that bounce. I'll have to leave it with you.
You will, yes.
Okay. Now, if you do come, what time are you likely to come?
Well, as I said before, about 12:30.
Oh, okay. Well, see what you can do, because I'm afraid cheque is quite unacceptable.
Right.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mr. Moore, I'm so sorry. I forgot to ask you one thing. Would you be kind enough, before you set off, to telephone me, just to let me know whether you are coming here en route or whether you're not? Because that way I know whether I have to stay in or whether I'm free to go out. Thank you.
Okay.
Could I speak to Jane Brigstock or Derek Rice or Andy Ingram, please?
One moment, please.
Derek?
It is.
Hello, it's Molly Seddon. How are you?
Yes.
Are you well?
Very well, thank you. You?
Fine, thanks. I just wondered if you could kindly check on something. I sent you a cheque for £35.49 on the 6th of August for a particular head from Nürnberg, which I had verified they had in stock. I spoke with Andy Ingram, and he said yes, he would deal with it. I've received from you a document which is a delivery note, but it isn't quite clear to me what it means. Record playback head and the number and so on. One on back order to follow. What does that actually mean?
In.
Sorry?
We're waiting for it to come in.
Ah, it hasn't come yet.
It hasn't. It should probably be on tomorrow's order.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so you will send it to me as soon as you get it, I hope.
Off back order and you'll get it.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
How is business?
Very well, thank you.
Have you any further introductions of antiquarian business?
Not at the moment.
Let me know when you have.
Will do.
All the best.
Bye-bye now.
Kind regards to Jay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Oh, good afternoon. Captain Seddon here from Datchet. I cannot tell you how disappointed I am. I paid you £50 to recondition that gearbox for me. I explained to you exactly what I needed of it, that it was working back to front and that I needed first gear only. It was put up a few days ago at enormous cost. You see, it doesn't merely cost me money to pay you for the thing. I have to pay someone to go up to the tower, dismantle it all, bring it all down, put it all together and take it all up again. And that's about another £80 over and above what I paid you. Now, since then, we've had one mildly windy day. And I made quite sure that I didn't even make the generator do any work. In other words, I didn't connect it electrically, so there was no load at all. The thing was purely idling and generating nothing, because I thought that was probably quite a good thing to run in the gearbox. Well, lo and behold, I've now been up to the machine, because I made some measurements from a distance, and it was quite apparent that the generator wasn't turning. And what I find is that it does not stay in gear even for a moment. If you try and turn the generator in the gentlest possible hand pressure, it straight away jumps out of gear.
It jumps out of gear.
Yeah. In other words, if you push the rod right over to one end, you know, the selector rod, it will appear to be in gear. But the moment you apply just a little turning force, a little torque, the bar moves back a millimetre or so, and it's instantly out of gear. And even if you try and hold the rod in place, it still doesn't stay. So now, what on earth are we going to do?
Let's have a look. Can you get that down to me?
Well, yes, but the whole point is this, you see. It's going to cost me something like £40 to pay a man to take it down from the mast. Then I've got to bring it to you. And then when you've done it, I've got to pay him about another £40 or £45 to put it back up again.
Well, you see, what I did explain to you, when you said everything was seized on it, right, I checked through all the seizure, I told you exactly what I've done to it, okay? And I don't know if, like, that rod, if it's been disturbed whatsoever.
No, it hasn't been disturbed at all. It was left in the position that you put it in. And all I did was to check by turning the shaft that it was, in fact, in the lowest gear, and it was.
Right. Okay. Well, what I'll have to do, I'll just have to have a look and see what it is. It may need a new hub in there. Because I didn't change the hubs, I told you that anyway.
Well, I mean, I left it to you what you did and didn't change. You said you'd charge me about £50. I said, could you not make it less? And you said you couldn't. I paid you the full £50. I explained to you exactly what I wanted the gearbox to do, that I was not interested in any of the gears except the first gear, the lowest gear, but that gear had to be good and sound, and there should be minimal frictional or turning resistance so that it turns easily in a light wind. And I believe you understood all that. And nevertheless, you've given me back a gearbox which is not of merchantable quality. It is of no use.
This is what it was, right? As you know, that box was seized when it came in here, right? There's nothing was actually working. The bearings were actually seized, whoever worked on it, right? And what it was, when I said to you it had water damage, I changed all the bearings in there, okay? And making sure that it can spin freely. When I selected the gears on the main shaft, on the hub, it is looking like it was operating all perfect.
Well, evidently it can't have been, because as I say, it's not even as though it had been driving the generator, in which case it would have been doing some load and there would have been some work being done by the teeth. That wasn't the case. The generator wasn't turned on, it was off the whole time.
I didn't change any gears in there, which I explained to you I didn't.
Yes.
Okay. I changed the bearing so that box could operate and spin very freely. When I selected it first gear, it had no jumping out of it whatsoever. So I'm a little bit surprised myself, but what I'll say to you, if you can get the box out, get it down, I will sort the problem out.
Yes, all right. Well, I don't know when I can do it, because the young man has to come all the way from London to me, and that's about nearly 30 miles, and it has to be on a day that suits him as well as me. All I can do is to ask him to come, and then I'm going to be out of pocket another £80 at least on this thing. So I'm extremely annoyed, because I did rely on you. You seem to me a reliable chap, and in the past your firm have given me good work, but now all of a sudden it's not so.
Well, what it is, okay, as I explained to you, right, I said to you, I didn't change any gears, I just changed the bearings, and that's what I charge you for.
Well, you told me you'd charge me £50 to make the gearbox reliable on first gear only, and I explained to you it was going to be driven back to front. In other words, the part of the gearbox that normally goes to the wheels of the car were in this case going to go to the propeller and would receive the force of the wind to drive. And the opposite end, which normally would go to the engine, in this case would go the other way round, would go to the generator. And all this I explained. So therefore it was incumbent on you to make sure that the gearbox, when driven back to front, did work.
Excuse me. Hello.
Now go on.
Yes. Are you listening to me now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm saying to you, as soon as you get the opportunity, okay, that your man can take that out, right, I've no objection of you bringing that gearbox down here, and I will sort that problem out and see what is actually going on.
Okay, I'll bring it to you as soon as I can, but bear with me, it may be several days or even weeks before I can get anybody to take it down. But just make a note that I've told you about it.
No problem.
Okay?
I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you, and I. Bye-bye. Also seems to ring a bell. Did you ever come to anybody in Datchet?
It's many, many years ago.
Oh, you couldn't remember all that time ago. Isn't that a small world? Right. Well, now let me tell you what I can and can't do, and then you must decide.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you must appreciate, as you probably do already, that all spare parts, including most valves, for all this old equipment, is totally unobtainable. Mm-hmm. And the world at large, the modern world, scorns us all to...
Yes.
Thank you.
Just a moment, I'll go and get him.
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Totnay.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Seddon. Is this a convenient moment to talk to you?
Yes.
Now, one of the first things I would like to do, let me say that I've been through terrible trials and tribulations with this machine, the detail of which I'll give you later. But first of all, I would like to let you hear over the telephone the present performance of one of your recordings on the machine in its partially repaired form. Now, to this end, as I hear at the moment in the background, you have either television or radio playing. I wonder if you could be kind enough to switch that off for as long as you're listening to this demonstration to make sure that you can give it your undivided attention to the sound.
Yes.
Could you do that?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Right. Could you hold the line about half a minute? I cannot tell you how well or badly it will sound. It may sound dreadful over the telephone, but at least you'll get some idea. Just hold on about a minute. First question, how is that for volume? Is it loud enough or could it do with being louder? Is it rather quiet?
Well, it's been that long since I heard.
I'm just talking about volume at this juncture. As you're receiving it over the telephone, is it loud or is it weak? In other words, I want to know where to set the volume control. Shall I turn it up a bit louder or shall I not?
Try it a bit louder if you would, please.
Right, I will. Hold on. How did you find that volume?
Oh, yes.
Was that better?
Yes.
Or would you like a little more? Yeah, I can easily give you more. It's set on a very low volume setting. Would you like a little more?
Yes.
Right. Hold on. How did you find that volume?
Yes.
Was that adequate?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Would you like a little more volume? Would you hear it better if it was a bit louder?
Well, the volume that you're putting on, you're using the control on the...
On the machine, and I need to know, you see, how much volume to give it. I mean, does it still sound a little bit weak to you, a little soft, a little quiet?
Being on the telephone, it sounds all right. I can hear the tape perfect.
Right, now hold on a minute. I'll give it a little bit more volume. Thank you. How was the volume on those tests?
Oh, yes, they were pretty loud, yeah.
Good. Now then, you, although you may get not a very as good a sound as you would like on a telephone, it will at least give you some indication of the speed. How does the speed sound to you?
Well, it sounded all right.
Good. Well, that's my estimation of it precisely. Now, could you very kindly tell me, there are certain things I need to know. Oh dear, I can never find a... I'm a much better engineer than a businessman. Here is a pen, at last I found it. Could you kindly tell me, from what sources in general do you take your recordings? Is it from radio or from what is it?
The tapes I have here, back home, I used to do it from a record deck, and I used to have a link up to the back of the it used to plug in at the back of the tape recorder.
Right. Now, the recordings you've sent me with the machine, how were they taken?
Well, is it a small one?
No, it's a large one.
It's a large tape.
Large tape with the music on it that you've heard. The music on it is your music. That's your recording.
Well, it just shows how long I've played them. No, I haven't played them.
You see, they're quite good recordings, and I was just wondering how you made them.
Yes, well, as I say, most of my records were taped from a record deck.
Yes.
You couldn't play the records without having connected up to the tape recorder.
Oh, I see. So you use the tape recorder as a playback amplifier for the records. You played the records through the recorder?
Yes.
Yes, I see. Now then, do you make recordings by microphone?
Very, very seldom.
Right. Do you use extension loudspeakers with the recorder?
What do you mean?
The tape recorder has its own speakers in it, but on the back it's also got loudspeaker sockets into which you can plug separate outside external loudspeakers to enhance, for instance, the stereophonic effect and also to get a better sound reproduction. Do you do that, or do you only use the speakers in the recorder?
I used to have two speakers that used to plug into the back, extension speakers.
Yes. Do you still use those?
And I used to use those on playback.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Do you still use them?
No, I let my son have the speakers.
Oh, I see. Because, of course, it does sound better through the speakers, doesn't it?
Yes.
By the way, if you need speakers, I can in due course at some later time let you have them. I have a considerable stock of second-hand speakers of varying prices and qualities and makes, which could just be plugged in.
Yes.
Well, that answers my question. Oh, yes. Now, from now on, are you going to use the machine for recording or for playback or for both?
Well, it more or less for both.
For both. That's what I needed to know. Right. Well, now let me explain to you some of the tribulations that I've gone through. Can you just hold the line a moment? I'm just to do something. One second. Are you there?
Yes.
Now, when last we spoke, if you remember, I told you that I had another machine, identical, and I envisaged changing motors between one and the other.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, as I also told you, I didn't know there might be intermediate problems, and indeed there are intermediate problems, of a totally unexpected kind. This is very strange, because here we have two machines, yours and mine, which outwardly look more or less identical, and they have the same type number, TK46. And in fact, they're radically different, because yours uses one type of motor, and the other one uses a different type of motor.
Yes.
And therefore that possibility of changeover or cannibalization fell out of the window and can't be done. So therefore one has to do something else much more complicated and much more difficult. Now, are you familiar at all with the general... do you have anything to do with electric motors? Do you know what they look like?
Not really. I mean, I work in engineering. The only thing as I see is when they take a motor to part, you know, to have it rewound.
Ah, good. Well, then you've seen... What sort of engineering are you in?
Well, it's mostly, you know, the turning, press work, and things like that.
Yes, yes, I see. Well, the point is you've seen what an electric motor looks like, a sort of cylindrical case which is stationary, and inside it you've probably seen the rotor, have you, that goes round, the armature.
Yes.
Well, now, that is the normal, or shall we say the common or garden type of motor, where the casing is absolutely stationary and is bolted down, and the shaft, which sticks out at the end, which does the driving of whatever's being driven, is connected to and forms part of the rotor inside.
Yes.
Now, that is the ordinary type of electric motor, and it is the kind of electric motor which is contained, or which was contained when I received it, in your machine.
Yes.
I do not have a motor of that kind. The only motor that I have been able to produce that will do this job is something I've had to take out of another machine, which is in perfectly good working order, and which machine I value at £1,400 as a second-hand valuable antique. Now, this is a better and very much more exclusive type of German motor, in which the construction is exactly the other way round. And if you were to open up your machine when you get it back, you would find that what it now has in it is what I'm now about to describe. Imagine a motor, if you can, where the outside, far from being stationary and bolted down, the outside of the motor spins round. And the part which is fastened is the inside.
Uh-huh.
Can you conceive of such a thing?
Yes.
Imagine the whole thing back to front. Imagine the shaft of your ordinary motor sticking out at both ends. No, it's difficult to explain, isn't it? Imagine a sort of hollow... coffee tin, if you like, spinning round with a shaft attached to the end of it.
Yes.
Well, that's what you've got in this other type of motor. And the inner part, which has a projecting fixing bracket, if you like, is bolted down to the casing of the machine.
Yes.
In German, this type of machine is called Außenläufer. Läufen comes from laufen, to run, and Außen means exterior. In other words, exterior turner or exterior runner. As distinct from the kind you have, which is called Innenläufer, which is an interior spinner or interior runner.
Yes.
Now, the type that I've now put in is, in fact, a far superior type of motor. It is the kind of thing that is used, for instance, in tape recorders, in broadcasting stations and similar professional establishments. And the reason is quite simple, that the rotating mass of the relatively large diameter outer spinning cage is much greater than the rotating mass of the small internal rotor, which I'm sure you can appreciate.
Yes.
In other words, the flywheel effect is much greater, and it irons out or smooths out the relatively pulsating nature of the electromagnetic pull of an electric motor, and the result is a very much smoother machine than the type you had in it formerly. Are you with me?
Yes.
And this, unfortunately, is the only solution I can offer to this thing. I have put this motor in, and it is running as you have heard. It's running beautifully. And it's the only way round it. Now, this causes additional problems, because as it is a different design of motor, the electric circuit parameters associated with it are entirely different from those which were associated with your former motor. And that meant substantial further modification to your machine to enable this exterior rotor motor to be acceptable to it.
Yes.
Anyway, it is done, but I'm afraid it causes an increase in price, and I have to ask you 500 and not 400 in view of this.
Uh-huh.
The work is not complete yet. There is still quite a certain amount of final checking through, particularly in the details I asked you questions on just now, the recording and the external speaker sockets and that kind of thing. But apart from that, the thing is now, it's got to the stage where I have, in effect, broken the back of the problems, and it is now running smoothly and beautifully, but it's still in pieces all over the table.
Yes.
Is that all right? Do I proceed along those lines?
Yes, yes.
Right, I will do that. I'll be in touch with you, well, I can't say exactly when. In 1 or 2 or 3 days' time, I should think, as things are going. And it may be more than that, depending on what else comes along, you see, to interrupt the work. I'm only a one-man business, and if the bell rings, or the telephone rings, or somebody comes to see me, of course the work stops. Hello?
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 Speak to Mr. Totney, please.
Yeah. All right.
Hello?
So, Mr. Totney, apparently we were cut off.
Yes, I don't know what happened.
Never mind, we're through again.
Yes.
Now, are you happy with the situation as it stands?
Well, it sounds all right to me.
Good. Righto. Well, then, am I to proceed on the basis of the £500?
Yes.
Right, I will do so. In a few days, I'll contact you again.
Yes.
And then we can arrange how we progress from there.
Yes.
Good. I should think, well, I don't know exactly, 1, 2, 3 days, something like that.
Yes.
Now, let me see. If you want any speakers, I can let you have at no extra charge, just included gratis, provided you don't mind bearing the cost of the transit getting them to you. I can let you have a pair of small, I'm not quite sure what make they will be, they may be English or they may be Japanese speakers, with leads which simply plug into the back. Is that of any interest to you?
Yes.
You'd like those?
Yes, please.
Righto, well, I'll provide those. They won't be anything very grand, but they will improve the reproduction somewhat, particularly, of course, they'll spread the stereo.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Anything else to be said? No, I don't think so. Well, I'll go on testing it very exhaustively. I always believe in doing that very, very thoroughly, particularly in view of the distance. How far are you from London?
Oh, from London? I wouldn't like to... It's over 100 miles.
You see, what I was going to say was it's a pity, in a way, that this thing has to be sent like this in such an impersonal way. I always like, where possible, to meet my clients, and where I can do, to deliver the thing and set it up on site and make absolutely certain, to my satisfaction, as well as the client's, that everything is working as well as it possibly can. The trouble with that, of course, is the expenditure that it causes due to the journey.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you wanted me to bring it to you at an extra charge, I could do so. Or, alternatively, I can just send it back to you the way it was sent to me, whichever you prefer.
I think that would be all right.
What, just to send it back? All right.
I think so.
Now, the other question is the payment. Would you be able to pay this in cash? Because the point is, I've had bad experience. It's a case of the majority who are innocent suffering for the minority who are guilty, because some people pay with bad checks, you see, and therefore my accountant doesn't allow me to accept checks. The only way I can accept a check is if I take a check and first of all clear it, and that's a very long and slow process. So if you would be able to send cash on receipt of that, I would immediately dispatch it back by Interlink to you.
Now, that's the point. I've never got that much cash.
Right. Well, now, there's a third alternative, and that works very well. If you would like to send me postal orders, they are, of course, immediately encashable at a post office, provided you cross them, address them to Audiorama Limited, and cross them account payee only, then they can't be made use of by anybody who happens to steal them along the way.
Yes.
Now, equally, as soon as I receive the postal orders, again, I can have Interlink collect the thing and send it off to you.
Yes.
Is that an arrangement you can do?
Well, you see, the point is, I was going to have a word with you.
Yes.
About payment.
Right.
Now, I'm a person that, if I write a cheque, it is a good one.
Good.
I don't believe in plastic cards of any kind.
Nor do I. I don't use them either. You're entirely a man after my own heart.
My bank manager, he does try and get me to have them, but no way will I have them.
Absolutely right. I quite agree with you.
Up to now, I've never, ever had a cheque back. Well, tell you the truth, the last time I wrote a cheque was... Well, when I sent it down to Interlink.
Yes. Yeah.
When I sent it down to you.
I see.
And I don't write many checks.
But nor do I must say.
It's
a case of spending only what one needs to spend.
Yes.
I see. So now, I mean, what would you like to do? I mean, can you send me postal orders?
Well, I would just like to write you a check.
All right.
I could put you my name and address on the back.
Yes.
My bank, the name of the bank is the Midland.
Yes.
And I could, if you could give me the name of your bank.
Yes.
I could go down and get my bank manager to have a word with your bank manager.
Well, I think the way that that is done usually is that if you let me know the name and address and telephone number of your bank, I then ask my bank manager, this is what my accountant tells me, to contact your bank. They only tell banks, they won't tell other people. And my bank can then be told by your bank whether, in their opinion, all is in order. And if they say, yes, it is, well, that's just fine.
Oh, yes. I shall have a good reference.
All right.
I can assure you of that.
Fine. Well, in that case, I mean, as the thing, the back of the work is broken, and I only have to do the detail, which will be finished in 2 or 3 days. If at this point in time you would like to send me a cheque for £500, I will give it to my bank, and as soon as they tell me that is clear, I will immediately telephone Interlink and tell them to collect the machine and send it to you. How is that?
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yes. When do you want me to...
You can send it off as soon as you like. I mean, you can send it off now, because it has to be cleared through the bank, which takes a little time anyway. And you've got the address, have you? It's payable to Audiorama, AUDIORAMA, all one word, limited. And I suggest you cross it and make it account payee only, not negotiable.
Oh, it is a cross check anyway.
It is.
They're printed cross.
Just in case anybody steals it. And shall I give you the address again?
Your address?
Yes.
I've got your address.
You've got it. Well, would you like to send that off today? And then as soon as it arrives, I will give it to the bank. And as soon as they tell me the matter is in order and clear, I will immediately telephone you and at the same time telephone Interlink and arrange for them to collect the machine and send it back to you.
Yes. Right.
Is that agreed?
Well, I can't say when. Let's see. It'll arrive within the next week.
Righto.
Yeah, you see, because I work every day, I'm working late at night.
I'll be looking forward to it in the mail the day after or the day after that. And I will put it into the bank, and as soon as they tell me the thing is clear, I will immediately send the machine to you. Is that agreed?
Yes, yes.
Okay, because you see, that doesn't involve you going to the bank at all, does it?
No, no.
And you don't need to go to the bank at all.
Right,
good?
Of course, they could do it from my
cheque,
can't they, from your end?
Yes, absolutely. You don't need to contact your bank at all.
That's what I was thinking of.
No, not at all. All you have to do is send me the cheque for £500 for Audiorama Limited. I put it into my bank and they do everything. They then read off your bank what your bank's address is.
Yes.
They get in touch with them and sort it out between them. You don't need to do a thing. Okay, fine, and I'll give you a ring as soon as the cheque arrives, so that you'll know that that's in order, and then we'll move forward from there.
Right, thank you very much.
Any thanks to you?
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I very briefly tell you one thing, except that you seem to take exception to the electricity. I would just like to give you some idea of what the electricity is used for. Welding, soldering, grinding, cutting, drying, photocopying, drilling, shaping, planing, lighting, audio oscillator testing, signal generator operating, communicating, valve voltmeter operation, valve testing, insecticide use, polishing, wireless telephony, tape recording and playback, electric motor operation, rectification, battery charging, electrolysis, electrodeposition, cleaning, paint mixing, capacitor charging and testing, continuity testing, gramophone testing, and heaven knows what else that I haven't thought of.
Well, you got then all that out in rather quickly.
Well, I wrote it down, you see, beforehand.
I should have written it down. Right, well, I'm going to have a look at your accounts.
Sure.
And we're going to go from there.
Righto.
So, you know, you go out tonight. As I say, it won't be down there today.
Righto. Let me know, and you're most welcome to come, have a look at it all, and I think when you see how I live, I think you'll understand better that one can, in fact, be very economical if one is on the basis of, you know, make, do and mend and not waste money.
Right. Okay, then we'll be in touch.
Thanks a lot. And if I don't get this thing, well, I don't, and if I do, well, so much the better.
Okay, then.
Thanks awfully. All the best. Bye-bye.
I wonder, could you help me, please? I intend to send a letter through the post for the attention of the visiting inspector, I think he is, Mr. Campbell. Could you kindly tell me to whom exactly and at what address I should send it?
What kind of an inspector is he?
Well, you have a gentleman visiting you on extension 2566, and I believe he's, I may be quite wrong on this, but I rather think he's a visiting inspector to do with the community charge.
Oh, yeah, we have a Mr. Ray Campbell, who is actually based at this office.
Oh, he's based at your office?
He's not visiting.
He's not visiting. Well, then I misunderstood. I thought he was visiting you.
No, we do have a Mr. Campbell.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.